With Ross Reynolds, I'm Steve Scherer. This is The Record, the Week in Review Extra. Knut Berger is here. He writes the Mossback column at Crosscut. Eli Sanders is the associate editor of The Stranger. And Marie Laganga is the Seattle bureau chief for the Los Angeles Times. Good to have you with us.
Happy to be here.
So there was a conversation that Tim Burgess had when there was the announcement for the Universal Pre-K program in Seattle. And he said this.
Our property tax rate is lower than the city of Bellevue, lower than Kent, lower than Renton, lower than Federal Way, lower than Auburn, lower than Redmond, Shoreline, Kirkland, and Burien. So of the other significant sized cities in King County, I think our tax rate is reasonable.
And Knut, you wrote an article in Crosscut pointing at the rusting ferries saying, what's going on? And I posit this question. We want universal pre-K. We want better bus service. We want our roads to be fixed. We wouldn't mind a good education system. And we would like all sorts of other amenities in our city, a nice waterfront. Has our reach really exceeded our capabilities?
Well, I think our appetite is definitely bigger than our ability to process everything. The ferries are a great example. I mean, we have this ferry system that is sort of our face to the world. Every tourist goes on the ferry, but we can't paint the ferry boats. I mean, they're covered with rust. We're not even taking care of the stuff we have. And when you think about the amount of money that's wasted on Bertha in one day, we kind of want to do everything. And we don't really have a good self-control.
I would say our cognitive dissonance on taxes has exceeded any sort of reality. We want all the things that you described, but we don't want to have an income tax in this state. We have the most regressive tax system of any state in the nation, and yet we want all these things, and at the same time we want a more streamlined government, and we don't want to pay any more for anything ever. That is unworkable.
But I'm going to be the person who, and as our friend and colleague Danny Westneat wrote about in the Seattle Times, there's a lot of requests being made. And we called it a la carte government. I mean, there's a lot of requests being made. And when you get to the bill at the bottom, you start to think, talk about cognitive dissonance. It just costs too much. We're asking people to pay too much for all these requests. And maybe we need to just lower our sights.
But what would you not pay for? What would you get rid of? That's, you know, one of the problems. But the question I have is, I came from a state with an income tax, and I don't understand how a state can have an infrastructure, keep the roads going, pay for education without an income tax. Why is it the third rail of politics here?
A little bit.
It is.
Of course, California had those things and yet struggled to pay for especially education and higher education right. for a long time because people felt – and I understand you had the proposition that limited property taxes and all. People felt this is out of control. We can't handle this. Is this just the way our culture is taking us? I mean, you're arguing that it's that way because of a lack of reality, but maybe people are feeling too much reality.
Well, no, I think it's unrealistic to demand more services and offer the state less money to fund those services. That is just, it makes no sense. But it is sold to a lot of people, particularly by people like Tim Iman and conservatives in this state, as reality, as workable. That if you are feeling like the state is not doing its job, it's never because we don't have a workable revenue system for the state. It's always just the state's fault.
You know, I think part of it is we have sort of an ADD attraction to shiny objects. So when somebody proposes a new waterfront, doesn't matter that we're not painting the ferry boats. It doesn't matter that we have a facility like Seattle Center, which we are struggling to make it economically. We want to do the new thing. That's a great toy. The waterfront design that they've come up with is a high maintenance thing. It's going to take a lot of public money for a long time to maintain it properly, let alone build it. We love the idea of doing the new and innovative. We really don't like the idea of then having to pay for the potholes that you need to fill and for all the kind of boring maintenance stuff that you do later.
And just to add, since pre-K in Seattle was the impetus for this question, it's worth saying, I think if Seattle was running the state of Washington, we would have an income tax and we would be doing all of these things statewide. And so it's another part of the problem that the city that keeps this state going doesn't have a state that mirrors its politics and therefore has to do all of these things on its own, a la carte, within the city from the city's property tax base.
And California property tax cuts, Proposition 13, are what has hamstrung the state in fixing its infrastructure, paying for its education, and dealing with keeping the state running.
You know, in terms of shiny objects, you made the argument just a minute ago. That was the argument that was made against putting a light rail system in place. Let's put the money into a bus system. Maybe it's more pedestrian, but we'll have lots and lots of money under the Sound Transit plan to keep the buses running all around the region. But we opted for tunneling under the city instead.
Yeah, I think there ought to be some kind of way that when you put the price tag on these projects, you always include the operating expenses, the maintenance, the deferred maintenance. Give people an actual dollar sign.
When you look at the proposal in Seattle for a parks district, does that feel like a reasonable proposal to you as well, or is that a shiny object proposal again? Any of you guys? I'm just curious.
I think it's not unreasonable. I think you look at the state of our parks and you say, well, we have great parks, but they need more reliable funding, more long-term funding, and they can be better, and they're such a public good that they're worth it. And that feeling is very much in sync with the Seattle ethos. So the Parks District is not a bad way of doing it. There are some concerns about how the voters can hold the district accountable, but in the end, I think it's worth doing.
So what do you say to the people who say, oh, that's great, but I am tax weary. I'm making $40,000 a year. I'm luckily own my house. I'm just getting tired of this. What do you say to them? Sorry?
Move.
Oh, to move. Oh, that's great.
There you go. Well, no, I mean, you cannot have a city that's affordable and a city that does everything. They will collide, and they are colliding at some point. So it's a matter of priorities.
All right. Eli Sanders, associate editor at The Stranger. Knute Berger writes the Mossback column. Maria Laganga, Seattle bureau chief for the LA Times. Thanks for being here. It's The Record, the Week in Review Extra from KUOW Seattle.